Chapter 15. The Will. Mr. Greenleaf, McCarran, and Marge all left for Rome together. Tom spent the afternoon at home expecting a telephone call from the detective, but none came. There was only a call from Countess Titi inviting him to a cocktail party that evening. The following day, McCarran called, but he only wanted to know all the names of Dickie's friends in Mangibello and Naples. Tom went through them all with their difficult addresses, all except Signor Pucci, who had sold the house and boat for him.
"You never met this painter, Di Massimo?" McCarran asked.
"No, I saw him once," Tom said, "but I never met him."
"What did he look like?"
"Well, it was just on a street corner. I left Dickie as he was going to meet him, so I wasn't very close to him. He looked about 5'9", about 50, gray-black hair. He wore a light gray suit."
Okay,
McCarran said, slowly, as if he were writing all that down.
"Well, that's about everything. Thanks very much, Mr. Ripley."
"You're welcome. Good luck."
The weeks went past, and there were no more calls. Tom went to more parties and spent time with his wealthy friends. Peter Smith Kingsley had a couple of English newspapers that his friends had sent him. There were pictures in them of Tom in the streets of Venice and one of his house.
"I'm so tired of it," Tom said. "I'm only staying here to try to help if I can, but there are journalists everywhere."
"I understand," Peter said. "I'm going home at the end of May, you know. If you'd like to come along and stay at my place in Ireland, you'd be welcome. It's very quiet there."
Tom stared at him. Peter had told him about his old Irish castle and had shown him pictures of it. Then, Tom had a sudden memory of his relationship with Dickie, like a pale ghost. The same thing could happen with Peter, he realized. Peter, who was kind and not at all suspicious, except that he, Tom, did not look enough like Peter. But one night, he had spoken in an English-sounding voice and acted like Peter, and Peter had thought it was really funny. It now made Tom feel terribly ashamed.
"Thanks," he said, and suddenly he was nearly crying. "But I'd better stay by myself for a little longer. I miss my friend Dickie, you know? I miss him terribly."
"Don't worry,"
replied Peter softly, touching him on the shoulder.
"Of course you do. I'd really think something was wrong with you if you didn't feel like this."
Venice, June 3rd.
"Dear Mr. Greenleaf, while I was packing today, I found an envelope that Richard gave me in Rome and that I'd completely forgotten about. On the envelope was written, not to be opened until June, and of course, now it is June. Inside it, I found a will written by Richard that leaves everything to me. I am very shocked by this, as I'm sure you are too. I am so sorry that I did not remember having the envelope, because it would have shown much earlier that Richard planned to take his own life. I put it in a suitcase pocket and then forgot about it. I am sending a copy of the will so that you may see it for yourself. This is the first will I have ever seen in my life, and I don't know what to do next. Please say hello to Mrs. Greenleaf for me and tell her how sorry I am that I had to write this letter. It would be good to hear from you as soon as possible. My next address will be Care of American Express, Athens, Greece. Yours, Tom Ripley.
It was asking for trouble, but he only had $2,000 left in his bank, and he knew he must not take any more from Dickie's account, so why not try for all his money? He had bought his ticket for the voyage to Greece in the middle of May, and the days had grown warmer. He was so bored after the gray, quiet weeks in Venice. He guessed that he was safe. He had not heard from Roverini, and even the newspapers had stopped writing about Dickie and Freddie Miles. 2 days before Tom sailed, he went to tea at the house of Countess Titi della Latacacciaguera. The maid showed him into the living room, and Titi entered soon after.
"Ah, Tommaso,"
she cried, her arms wide with excitement.
"Have you seen the afternoon newspaper? They have found Dickie's suitcases right here in the American Express in Venice."
"What?" Tom had not seen the papers.
"Read it, here. They were sent from Naples. Perhaps he is here in Venice."
Tom read the story carefully. The paper around Dickie's paintings had come undone, and someone had noticed Dickie's signature on them. The police were now looking at everything for fingerprints.
"Perhaps he is alive,"
shouted Titi. "I don't think this means he is alive," said Tom. "It says here that the suitcases and paintings were sent under the name Robert Fanshawe. Dickie could have been murdered or killed himself after he sent the suitcases. His passport was even there. He packed his passport."
"Perhaps he is hiding himself under the name of Robert Fanshawe. Oh, sit down, Tom. You need some tea."
"But it says here that he packed all his bathroom stuff and his shoes and coat. Everything. He couldn't be alive and leave all that. The murderer must have taken his clothes and put everything in the American Express. It was probably the easiest way to get rid of it."
He was not leaving until the day after tomorrow, Tom thought. There was lots of time for Roverini to get his, Tom's, fingerprints and compare them to the stuff in the suitcases, and then to Dickie's. Wouldn't Mr. Greenleaf have sent Dickie's fingerprints from America immediately? He tried to turn his thoughts to Greece. To him, Greece was a place covered in gold. He imagined stone statues with strong, calm faces. He did not want to go to Greece with questions about fingerprints and the police hanging over his head. It would make him feel so ashamed, as low as it was possible to feel. Tom dropped his face in his hands and began to cry. Titi put her fat arm round him.
"Tommaso, why are you crying? Wait until you have a reason to be unhappy."
"I can't see why you don't see that this is a bad sign," Tom said sadly. "I really don't."
By the time he got on the ship to Athens, Tom was like a walking ghost. He had heard nothing from Roverini, and that was a bad sign, as his messages before had always been so friendly. He stayed in his cabin most of the time and had not been able to sleep or eat for days. He knew that Mr. Greenleaf had received the letter about the will now. If the police discovered his fingerprints on Dickie's things, and then that the signature on the will was also forged, it might put Tom in the electric chair. He spent the evening walking up and down the ship and talking to no one. He just wanted to be alone. What if the captain was just now receiving a message to arrest Tom Ripley? He, Tom, would stand up bravely Or he might throw himself into the sea. Well, what if he did? He was not afraid. If they got him on the fingerprints and on the will, had it been worth the months from November until now? Of course it had. He wished that he had seen more of the world. That was all. He wanted to see Australia and India. He wanted to see Japan. Since knowing Dickie, he had become interested in paintings. He did not want to be a painter, but if he had the money, he wanted to collect them. The following morning, the boat approached Greece. Tom stood at the front and saw four policemen standing in a line with folded arms, staring up at the ship. Tom collected his suitcases and walked down onto the harbor, then turned toward the policemen. "I'll just tell them who I am," he thought. "I won't shout or run." The policemen stared back at him. He smiled at them a little. Then, one of them touched his hat, and they all stood to one side. He walked between them toward a newspaper shop, and they did not look at him at all.